Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, can you backdoor Michael into the show? Is that possible?
Give me a sec. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. I'll do the promo while you do that. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm in for commercials to do the promos. We got Sports Talk, Radio Reggie, Redmond Radio, River Virginia. We have the Sports Talk crew. And we had a mighty old Bob with the UFO, 1080 Power, 93.5 FM, Buffalo, New York. Want to get all Buffalo news? You gotta get WUFO. Michael Ziegler at 11 a.m. at 2 Pacific time. Radio on the Raw. And Eric Gove at 1. Pacific 4 in the day with Gary Andre. And Gary Gove. Yeah, Michael.
Yes, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
All righty. Go ahead, bro.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Cheryl. T-Mac. G. Good afternoon. It's been an interesting morning.
Nursing a cold from the weekend. Been sick all week.
Michael, I have a real issue here with the NFL.
Yes, you
the
do.
NFL,
yes,
the
we
NFL,
do.
The NFL has become the new Ku Klux Klan. Let me explain it to you.
Okay.
So the Ku Klux Klan has become a rich, old man, old white man club. Here we go. You had 30 teams, only one minority.
Right.
80% of your product is African American.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, mm-hmm. You have 4 of 2018 with cheerleaders.
Right.
Sued the NFL for misconduct.
Right.
You have 21 major lawsuits, a concussion lawsuit.
Right.
This is all adding up. And by the way, the NFL lawyers are getting $30 million a month doing this game.
That's all exactly.
Yeah, so here we are old gray beard white guys.
Yeah.
Trying to control industry has lost control completely.
When is that? Mm-hmm. When is that nothing different, Gary?
I'm done.
All right, well, let me step in on this. Gary, what you've seen and what you've described is nothing new because we've all lived through it. At some point or another, the desire for white males to control what they believe they think is theirs has come off for centuries. But specifically to what you're talking about here right now, the NFL is an old boy network. It's no different from IBM or any other major corporation. The difference, however, because it's supposed to be a sporting league, gives the impression that they are open. We know that's not true. They're the same folks, and they're making sure that you understand that even though your job as a football player may be considered glamorous by some because very few are capable of doing it, it doesn't change the fact still the same plantation is just a bit more expensive kind of cotton. And these people have always decided that they were going to do things their way. And they did it to white men and black men. You know, from the 50s on, when football started to gain popularity, the players who helped build the game, and some of them were white, suffered the same fate as those that are black now. They got screwed financially. They were not given a full 411 as to the rigors of the game and the potential dangers, even when the NFL knew. So this is just perpetuation of this. We see We see the plantation aspect more because we know now the game is dominated by the brothers. And because it is, the brothers don't want to admit that they're slaves. You know, Bill Roden made an excellent point in his book about the 100-yard plantation. The glamour and all the stuff that's supposed to be attached with it gets detached when you realize now that you're worth even less now. You're only one play away from losing everything. And when I say that, I'm talking about how if Cheryl comes into the league as a rookie and she's making the rookie contract minimum at $500,000, Cheryl knows if she busts her ass for 3 years plus, when her new contract comes out, then she gets paid. But what Cheryl doesn't know is that her Eagles have already drafted Tony to play her position. Tony's bigger. Tony's faster. He's more athletic. And Cheryl's going to lose her spot. So even if she loses her spot, she may catch on somewhere else, but there's no guarantee. And if we find out that Cheryl hurt her knee in the offseason, well, Cheryl's damaged goods. Her agent's not going to speak up for her, you know. So she's hoping that she can remain healthy enough to get vested, which means she's got to play at least 2 more years or at least 1.5 more years to have that credit so that she'll have a pension and sure her career afterwards will be easier because she has money coming in. But there's no guarantee. And they're going to recycle a whole bunch of Cheryls like that every 3 years unless they happen to be exceptional at what they do.
And when you realize that the average NFL salary, I mean NFL career is 3 years, and to be honest with you, it's probably less than that. It's probably more like two and a half, depending on what have you. That just adds to. I mean, there's always been that Logan's Run mentality in the NFL. And the scary thing is they won't even let you reach 30. Sometimes it's 25, sometimes it's 26, you know, and if you have like a devastating knee injury, it can only be one or two years, you know. It's interesting. It was interesting because I've been watching a lot of the. I was actually watching Terrell Davis's Football Life the other day, and it's interesting because now, luckily for him, he was able to get in. But see, if you remember. He had the poison pen put out on him by his college coach. So see, you have to throw in, you've got to throw in the college, because trust, the NCAA and the NBA do, I guess, but the NFL are in bed with each other. When this is something that's happened over the years, whether it was Corey Fuller being outed, trying to be blackballed by the University of Washington. Or whether it was like the aforementioned Terrell Davis by Ray Goff. And see, those are the players that we know it's happened to. Think of all the other ones who it's happened to and never either didn't get the opportunity or were just given a bum's rush where they were just training camp fodder and then, less than a month in, they're gone because even when you watch Hard Knocks, you're only getting a tablespoon portion of that. And see again, they focus on the glamour part, but all the other stuff about getting your bills paid and knowing when they don't go into all of that.
President 45 changed the paradigm of racial equality. Colin Kaepernick was talking about freedom of speech and all that kind of stuff. 45 changed the paradigm.
Guys, I'll meet you halfway. He changed the paradigm in the sense of they didn't want to be called out in public by him. But let's be totally honest. That mentality has been there before 45 residents at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That attitude has always been there. Now, what Trump and his cronies did was, you know, in a sense, exploit the system because trust, like has been exposed. You know, he had support from all of those owners even before he got into office. Now, once he got into office, then all of a sudden it's sort of like, you know, after the substitute teacher calls you out and sends you to the principal's office. Now it's on. Now it's like, but see, think about how cowardly that is. They don't want to be called out by one of their own, so to speak. That's how coward. That's beyond cowardly. You know.
Exactly. But let me add this, because there's one aspect of this that hasn't been touched on, and that is the fact that the reason they acquiesced to that asshole Trump is that this is payback. Remember, Trump had a team in the USFL, the New Jersey Generals, and he was feeling full of himself as the Generals were starting to gain some modicum of success. And he wanted to push the envelope, and he said, we're going to join the big boys. We're going to compete with the National Football League.
Yep.
And the NFL and the owners at that time knew they didn't want that asshole in there upsetting the apple cart, being part of this. They knew that. They all knew that. But because he pushed the envelope, the NFL pushed back, and they beat him back like the little bitch that he is. But now we fast forward, he's got the hammer. And now he can dictate to them exactly what he wants done. And that's why he stepped to them in the manner he did. The NFL had already been bleeding money from their own mistake in trying to attack Kaepernick. And he says, you do what I say, or these puppets that I have. If you remember the movie, and I'll put this out here to the Soul Patrollers, check out a flick called A Face in the Crowd. This is an old movie from 1959. Mm-hmm. It's based on a play or a book by Paddy Chayefsky. And Andy Griffith gives the role of his life as this character named Lonesome Rhodes. And he starts out as some folk icon, and then he becomes, through hubris, a pariah, as he's trying to believe that he believes that he's bigger than the game that he's involved in. That's the short version, but it's an excellent movie, and I recommend it. For those who know about it, you know what I'm talking about. But for all you youngins, it's black and white, so I think you'll enjoy it. You see, when I say youngins, you heard Cheryl pipe in, right? There you go.
All of you who don't know who Wilt Chamberlain is, that's basically who we're talking about here.
For real. So, Cheryl, since you did pipe in, you know, how do you feel about all this? Because as a fan and as a journalist,
how do I feel like all of this?
Yeah.
How I feel let me explain something to you. Whether
they
are the niggas on the plantation, if they don't call in to work and don't go to fucking work, there is no NFL. They have power in numbers, and they don't use them because they're worried about the cars in the house. But in the same token, as I keep saying, you are raising young sons. And who's to say a cracker ain't going to gun your child down?
Come on.
They don't want to think about this. They need to stand up and be fucking men and back Kaepernick. If they don't go to work, they ain't got no damn money. And then the NFL has to tell Trump to kiss their ass. Because, honey, he's done. He ain't getting no more. They saying they're trying to boast him up and saying he's becoming popular. No, the hell he's not. He's bit off too many damn heads. And when they get digging for the conspiracy, they're going to put half of his fucking family in jail, and they're going to teach his ass. They're just waiting. Mueller is crossing the I's and dotting the T's, because when he goes after him, he knows he has to go after him with a fucking vengeance. But how dare them let him dictate to them what they want? And that's behind Pence going to a game, and they kneeled at this fucking game. Who the fuck are they? First of all, Trump is broke as shit. That's why he didn't give you his record of what money he's making money now as the president.
Yeah.
He has no damn money. And he should have been called up on it. But these Republicans sat by and let him destroy this country. And they're not saying that now they're all quitting. It's too late to quit in the game. You created this monster. You let this monster come in. You underestimated him. You underestimated this whole white trash that thought he was the damn savior, and he done showed them his real damn color. Because he don't give a shit about them. They're taking babies from people coming over the border. They're running from drug wars in their own damn country where they can't even live in peace and make a living. They're slowly closing down the resorts and stuff because the people are scared to take their money there. Because they don't want to be robbed, or they don't want to be kidnapped because they come from America with the illusion that we're all rich. But when do the NFL, when do these guys stand up and act like damn men? Oh, okay.
Come on.
You want to tell me that it's their civil right? How dare they? How dare they? They have a union. They're a group of them, not only black or white, NFL players that don't agree with this at all.
Yep.
They need to stand up as a group of men and kneel down. I'm sick. I ain't coming to fucking work. I'm sick. I ain't coming to work. They should shut the NFL down. They only got to do it one day. One day.
That's right.
One day. They're going to fire them all and replace them. They can't fire them all and replace them. They ain't got all that talent like they try to protect them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, see, as Cheryl's saying, as Cheryl is saying, the union theoretically would technically protect the rank and file. Now, if this was a real union, that would be the argument. But we know the NFL union has no teeth at all.
Yeah,
we know that their leader.
The late Mr. Lubner has more of a spine than DeMaurice Smith.
No shit.
Why am I being cussed at? you know, Gary, I was trying to be nice to you, man, but you starting to piss me off, Gary. You know that? Cheryl, what's up, my queen? Did you hear Gary just call me a cowboy? In other words, he called me a nigga. Because Jerry Jones is the biggest nigga I've seen in my life. Yes, I said it, and I ain't taking it back. Jerry Jones is a nigger. Yes, I said it. The definition, Cheryl, what is the definition of a nigger, Cheryl? Tell me what the definition is.
I got to get myself together, Lord.
You're the biggest nigger I've seen in my life.
Anybody can be a nigger.
Just like
49
on the right thing. Two niggers, ignorant.
That's right. Come on. That's what I say. Not ignorant.
You know what's great about Reggie is that he's not sensitive at all. Not one bit. You know,
I always thought he was a shy, retiring
It just rolls off his back like grape Kool-Aid on a Friday night. It just rolls off his back.
Matt, just tell me that, buddy. Stan Pipple. Ty Ripple. Fred Sanford put a little Kool-Aid and Ripple called the Sham Pipple. No problem.
Or Van Pipple.
Sham Pipple, yes. But Sham Pipple, Sham Pipple aside.
Where my manners?
Hold
hello, Cheryl.
Hold
on. I got to tell her to my queen. Hello, ladies first. Hello, beautiful.
Hold on. She said hello. Stop running your mouth. She said hello.
How you doing, beautiful?
I'm fine.
I'm acting like Jerry Jones, a nigga. That's how I'm acting. Just like Jerry.
Okay. Now, if we can get back to business here, the bottom line in all of this comes back to the fact that the National Football League is daring the players to do this. They want them to try some shit like this. This is the old playing chicken game.
And the players have to have balls enough.
Okay.
They don't want them to do it. They don't think they're going to do it. What's going to take balls is if they actually do it. They think, oh, no, they don't want to get rid of their cars or something. It's fine for one check. Hey, you can pay that and not even think about it. Plus a five for one day. It's time for them to stand up and be men and back up Kaepernick because now you're fucking with my livelihood. You're going to make me stop and watch football. I ain't going to watch. Yeah. And when people stop watching football, then what? Because they let Trump tell them what to do? Because it's turning people off.
People already turned off, Cheryl. But everybody is forgetting that the NFL caused their own problem. If they hadn't attempted to attack Kaepernick, nobody would have said shit. They made this problem up. They created this mess. And the media. That's right. The media is complicit because they had several times to clarify this. They had several times when the guy, Nate Boyer, came on and said, I told Colin what would be respectful in terms of honoring the soldiers and everybody who served. He told them. He told them.
When we kneel for our fellow guys that have gone down, we kneel at their grave site. We kneel when they bring their coffins. He said, so I'm not offended if you kneel. And he served his country.
Yeah, but
so
who's there to spin the story?
Okay.
Who's spin the story?
I have asked people that serve in the military. They don't feel disrespected. They don't feel because they're fighting for freedom. You're right. They don't feel disrespected.
See, and Cheryl, to Cheryl's point, hold on to Cheryl's point, you notice that no one from the military was ever interviewed to even imply that anything Kaepernick did was wrong. You notice that?
They could have contacted any four-star general.
The people that disrespect the ones they never spent one day in the military. Now, explain that to me.
What he have, a damn hangnail? What he have, a hangnail? His punk sons have him. They haven't served no damn where. What? They rich?
Yeah.
So they can't serve? Come on.
Well, we know they're a bunch of pussies, but that's not the point.
Sons have served.
We know they're a bunch of pussies. The bottom line here is that all of this could have been wrapped up a long time ago. Any general, anyone who ever served would have told you his kneeling is not disrespectful. You notice they never interviewed any of those. You notice when ESPN, the Mouse, the Rat, Fox News, whoever the fuck else was involved in this, anytime that interview with Nate Boyer would have gone up and they would have said, well, wait a minute, this isn't disrespectful. So why are we trying to change the narrative? They could have said that. They didn't do it. Just like they said that Obama was African or didn't have a proper birth certificate. All that shit could have been settled a long time ago.
He was Muslim.
The media could have brought a rap on that shit early on, and actually John McCain did that shit. He said he's not Muslim, he's a good man, we don't agree on shit. That should have been it. Even for the most cracker, even for any salt team worth their salt,
that should have been it. When McCain said that, okay, y'all got to change shit up because the truth just came out. The media on both sides, left and right, perpetuated that garbage, and mm-hmm. you got what you got. Here we have the same thing, only it's sports-oriented because the National Football League pushed it, and, of course, anybody connected with the league doesn't want to lose their spot at the table. Tony can tell you. And now we have all of this laid out in front of us, and somebody could have said, well, back the fuck up. Who in the military believes that Kaepernick disrespected the flag? Not one. Mm-hmm. Not anybody.
Not one.
From fucking not from Beetle
Mm-mm.
Bailey, the general fucking half-track. Nobody
mm-hmm.
said he was disrespecting the flag. That's right.
Nope.
But that,
nobody
but that, yeah,
nobody
and,
from the
and
military
that, yeah.
ever said that it was disrespectful. Never.
Exactly.
Never.
Exactly.
This
see,
is
see,
shit. This is Donald Trump getting back at the NFL. And y'all fall for that sucker move. Y'all fell for that. Y'all going to let him tell y'all what to do. And these players need to man the fuck out. Because I would still be, I'm sick. I won't be playing today. I might be out all week. I take it like a man. Yeah. And I explain my family and my wife, look, I'm calling out sick. This is why. Because if you want to continue to live like this, I got to draw my line in
Come
the
on.
Sand and
mm-hmm.
tell them not to cross over it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they got to do is be some men. They're a bunch of damn punks. I'm so sick of them. And this man has lost his career, and it would make a difference if he wasn't a good player, but he's a fucking excellent player. And they hate
exactly.
him, too, because he's good at what he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And see, this is media manipulation 101 on so
That's
many
right.
levels because, you know, you got to remember, in many ways, this started when the Trump campaign started because they've been looking the other way and looking the other way. That's why that whole facing the crowd analogy, Mike, is spot on because the thing is now, the scary thing now is he actually thinks, well, I take it back a little bit. See, when he keeps having these little rallies and whatever, even he doesn't even realize, damn, I'm president. I won. But he still has to – but because his ego is so fragile, they have to – I mean, can you even – I can't even remember presidents having these pep rallies after they won.
No one's ever done it. No one's ever done that shit.
But see, that's part of – but see, it's all a part of his shtick, but it's also a part of his insecurity. But see, again, this is where the media is supposed to come in and step in. But see, again, the very same folks that are trying to make a – they're in bed with him. Remember.
Mm-hmm.
Remember. What was it? Morning Joe – had mm-hmm. their largest ratings, quote unquote, after they quote unquote went
Thank
after
you.
Trump. And as
That's
far
right.
as I'm concerned, that was that whole fight was as legit as an S.D. Jones wrestling match. You knew that you knew what the outcome was going
That's
to
right.
be. The everything all the reactions and whatever were predictable. And
mm-hmm.
and see. What bothers me, I think I can safely speak for everybody when I say this. What bothers me is the fake outrage, the fake concern, the fake whatever. They, whether it be these shootings or whether it be this protest, they lapped this stuff up. This is they thrive on stuff like this. You had, it came out earlier this week that more than 5,000 people were died at the hands of the hurricane in Puerto Rico. But of course, we're too busy worrying about Roseanne freaking Barr
to
deal with it. While it's an issue, yes, but even that thing has a shelf life, and that's the thing. There's just so many, there's so many distractions and media manipulations, and you literally don't know who to trust anymore.
It is.
I mean, I've run out of people to trust in the media, And I work in the freaking thing.
It is part of the media's responsibility.
Hey, me too.
It is part of the media's responsibility to be objective, to provide, a situation where you
Mike.
Have.
I'm going to interrupt you, Mike. What did you just say, Mike? It is part
of the media's responsibility to be objective. We
That's
saw it all
right?
growing up. See it now. It was about making sure that people were accountable for saying shit. To further punctuate Tony's point, it has been about 500 days since this motherfucker has been in office. And he is on the record told about 3,000 fucking lies. Now think about
that
shit.
That's in 1 week. That's in 1 week. Come on, man.
3,000. I remember, but the whole point is 3,000 lies.
300 a day.
And it is so bad that the woman that speaks for him, everybody,
lazy
eyes. Want to sit there and say,
lazy
oh, God, what lies we going to hear? Yeah, what lies we going to hear today? It's, and then, this is what comes off. And then the reporter is like, okay, what lies we going to hear?
And then April Ryan and other boys get attacked. It's death threats. That's what she me. April Ryan gets death threats when she stands in front. And Joy Reid, welcome to Wake Up. This is your Negro card. You did something 15 years ago. Now they're ready to get your black ass off TV.
Listen, all I know is all I see. And all I don't see are the media saying, you can't do this. This
Why?
Is unethical. You know, and that's my point. It's like, look, they bleat for the briefest of seconds, and then they move on to the next chapter. This shit should have stopped with Hurricane Katrina. It didn't stop with Katrina. Katrina and New Orleans still look fucked up in parts of the city that they don't want to show you because they're changing that.
Hold on.
Katrina happened first. That's my point.
Yeah.
Katrina. Then the storms that follow. Then the Virgin Islands, which happens to be U.S. territory, also gets wiped out along with Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And after saying 50 or 60 people got killed, all of a sudden now that shit jumped up to almost 5,000. That's not a mistake. You know, that's not some typing error.
But
that's an actual count.
Right. But see, Mike, this is my issue. Congressional Black Caucus and whoever fucking caucus out there had a chance back when President Obama was president to flex their muscles. Whether they like the female or the male perspective or whatever, and Cheryl, she can back me up on this. They had a lot of genders. They could have stopped and said, look, President Obama, our communities are suffering. We know you got your people in the bank and saying, we know you got your friends, but damn it, you want our vote to pass this health care, you're going to go ahead and give us some votes right here. But where were they? They were fucking quiet.
No, they didn't do anything. And he was the kind of man that sat down and listened to everybody, tried to do everything, but he was one man. The office was a mess from Baby Bush and Daddy Bush. It was a mess. It was
mess.
He got us out of
debt
and everything. Everything that he did. Everything that he did trying to bring back, it was a mess when he got in there. Because they went over there to Iraq and didn't find no mass destruction and all that. They stole all the money and the gold over there that they found. That's what they went over there and took over the oil field. And
hey,
Bush is
oil. Y'all hear that noise? That's President Obama getting his nut cracked again for something else he didn't get done. Sorry about that, Cheryl. I heard that in the background. Obama get his nuts cracked again. I mean, it's sad, man. He was so acquiesced with the Republicans, he forgot the people he was fighting for. Come on, just keep it 100.
If we're going to keep it 100, then let's...
When your Congress vetoes and fights you everything you do, how much can you possibly do? You're trying to make turn people to your way.
They had the House
to try to have better things.
In the beginning,
y'all,
we first took office.
If y'all know
we had the House and the Senate.
One at a time. One at a time. Hold up, show. Go ahead.
Congress, you can't get it down. And where was your black churches and people that should have been backing him up to turn his back on him after they got a few coins? Where were they?
Yeah. Oh, they were sold out. Hey, they got lost.
The right
things.
Where were they at?
Yeah. They sold themselves out to Bush
too. You fail to remember that man is black and white.
Mm-hmm.
He's black and white.
So his pigmentation might be black, but they treated him down to the white meat. They made sure no matter what he did. But then again, he was the one that was at U.S. the Republicans. No matter what they said no, and he still kept begging them, saying, come on, work with me. Come on, man. He had the House and the Senate Democrat on both sides of the damn fence, and that's when he should have made his power known. But he was so accurate on getting his health care for, he could, if he had had jobs going, get the buildings, get the roads, and start the jobs first, then try with the health care, he might have had some pull. But he lost all his gravitas when he tried to get the health care, and Democrats turned their backs as one of them white crackers that said, I'm going to retire. I'm not helping this nigga. I'm out of here. That's why I said,
all right, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, wait a minute, that's not totally accurate.
And
hold
y'all
up.
Tell me, this bill they keep calling Obamacare, this bill was drawn up by the damn Republicans. Let's call it what
that's
this
right.
is. Let's keep it
hold
real.
On.
This is their
that's
bill,
Cheryl?
He put his name on it, so it wouldn't
that's
pass.
Right. That's right. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Even before the bill came up, even before the Affordable Care Act, Obama had a chance to get construction jobs, thousands of them, ready. He put in a bid for the Olympics, and he put in a bid for the World Cup. People forgot about that. I was still working at the Tribune at the time, and I know for a fact Chicago had the inside track to get either an Olympics or a World Cup. They were going to build a third airport in Gary, Indiana. That whole town was going to rise from the ashes like the phoenix. And all of those jobs would have meant people coming in from Minnesota and Indiana and other places in that Rust Belt would have had jobs. But this was something that was done on a world scale. Obama was not supposed to succeed. And I'm not saying this to pat him on the back. I'm saying this because this is documented straight up truth.
Mm-hmm.
They made sure that when he brought his bid over for the Olympics, that it was going to get shut down.
Sure.
When the World Cup was presented, they made sure that was going to get shut down. Hold on, Reggie, let me finish. Let me finish, because the bottom line here that you mentioned is that you got to, okay, hold on. Now, when he would have gotten approval for either one of those, funds would have been released for him for construction jobs that Congress couldn't have done a fucking thing to do to stop. And that is why that was a powerful move, because had those jobs been going, no one would have been complaining about an Affordable Care Act or whether it was good or bad, because people would have been working.
Okay.
We see what we see right now. The infrastructure is not shit. The disasters from Puerto Rico, from Katrina on up, tell you two things, that the United States of America is up for sale, and they are going to try to privatize disaster relief, and they're also going to privatize infrastructure, everything down the pike. All of the federal agencies that should be handling this shit right now are going to be made worthless, because that son of a bitch through the oligarchs that he's pimping out for are responsible for what's really happening right now, not Trump.
You know, and all due respect, Mike, the bottom line is that he knows how to multitask. Damn it. It's more than just getting a bid for the World Games. Right here in Virginia, you could have had road trucks here, up in New York, Chicago, up where you guys are at. He could have went ahead and said, look, I want to put jobs to work with the permanent infrastructure we have here, more than just happened in the game. So, and all due respect, we agree, disagree. He could have had jobs other places. Yeah, that would have been a nice little carrot in his pocket, but he was so fucking bending over backwards from the accuracy of the Republicans for his health care. Even he said before they got to the meeting, they said, whatever you want, no, we're not supporting you at all. He's getting back in the car. He said, come on, you didn't hear what
I said.
We don't care.
For the record, he put up 16 infrastructure bills in the 8 years that he was president. They were turned down 16 times. In addition to the 16 times he put up bills, they fought the Affordable Care Act, what was it, over 62 times? And it cost $1.5 million for our government to do business on a daily basis. You do the math, 60 times 1.5, that's over $75 million of our money wasted on bullshit. And that's just one aspect of this. Now, what I do agree with you with, Reggie, was that Obama fucked it all up because he allowed Citizens United to happen. And Citizens United is indirectly responsible for the shit that we have now. But don't make it sound like he was by himself in all of this, because he had help. He had help from the Democrats who rode his jock to get elected, but really hated his black ass, and they had other, agendas mm-hmm. that allowed for them
well, we know
to create.
Hillary did. And Ron Emanuel.
Well, that's
we
my
know
point.
Ron Emanuel.
So, exactly. He picks Emanuel as his strong arm, and all Emanuel did was protect Israel. And once he knew that Israel was protected, he split.
He got out.
And
we
know
he
now.
He Obama. Yep.
As we talk right now, as we talk right now, they're trying to make it illegal for us to criticize Israel, even though American lives are going to go over there and get their asses racked for some bullshit, because they're not dying to protect America, they're dying to protect Israel's interests.
Exactly.
But that's fascism. This is what fascism is. And the bottom line is, I said the same thing I said before, that the bitch-ass Democrats didn't have a strong plan. Sorry-ass Hillary walking around with these people talking about, well, you know, if you're going on Ellen's show, you can get the black female vote by advertising Ellen. No 50-state strategy, no ground rules. They didn't put no money, I know for a fact, in Virginia as far as the grassroots effort. All they did was went and tried to get the white vote, and that was the Clinton engineer. Clinton said, we need to go back and get the white Reagan Democrats.
And that's nothing new. And that's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing new on the Clinton. I mean, unless she was going to do the Dougie with Roland Martin,
mm-hmm.
and then
or either throw up
Beyonce, Jay Z, LeBron, or any of these other. I mean, you know, it's like that guy on Good Times, and you too, Wilona. That's all they care about.
Yeah. And you too. Well, listen, we have to say this then, because we knew Hillary, and I know some of y'all ain't gonna like this shit. Hillary threw the election. Hillary threw
fine.
The. I'm sorry. No. Let's be real.
Yeah.
If you're gonna keep it 100, Hillary knew that all she had to do was say to Bernie, as Tony predicted, it should have been a Sanders-Clinton ticket.
Yep.
He should have said straight up, I don't like some of your shit, you don't like some of my shit, but together we can keep this thing rolling and we'll settle our own shit later. They chose not to do that. Clinton chose not to do that.
And most importantly, Mike, the Democratic Party, because her and Wasserman,
right.
they were going to... This was going to be a Hillary coronation.
That's
was
exactly right.
This is what this was all about. They wanted
yeah.
to make it a Hillary coronation.
That's right.
And it literally and figuratively blew up in their face. Because
conspired against Sanders from the very beginning. And I don't even like Bernie Sanders. Because he's duplicitous himself.
But let me tell you about Tim Kaine here in Virginia. That son of a bitch ain't do shit. For black folks, not a fucking thing.
Yeah, that's why he was the perfect candidate.
He was for the white conservative branch of the Republican Party. And Cheryl, you know yourself, when you out there hitting them streets and trying to push for a Democrat agenda, you always got these science people like Senator Webb, a Reaganite who was Democrat, and he stay here in Virginia. Well, you know, it's a shame we don't have a Jefferson Davis there anymore, meet the press. Sure, they were slave owners, but other than that, they was pretty good guys. And they just fucking that's the bullshit we got here in Virginia.
Y'all
don't listen about what the fuck going down here and these sorry asses.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fighting for 20 years.
They've been just misunderstood. Can't you understand that, for Christ's sake?
That ain't what we deal with, Cheryl.
Well, I'm probably about one.
The thing is.
I think both parties, you know, the only difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is who wash. They're both the same.
That's
you know,
right.
They're both from the. They're mm-hmm. both. I can't deal with either one of them. I really
there, Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that, Cheryl.
The thing about it is, we both, y'all are complaining about the Democrats, the Republicans, but when people don't get out and vote, this you get what you get.
Thank you.
So don't complain.
That's true, too.
Don't complain.
That's true, too.
Don't complain. Now we have a bunch of
motherfuckers
younger
got kids
coming
ass.
Up.
We wouldn't
that,
be in this shit.
That's
right.
We've got younger kids that are coming in and they're want to be guns put down and they want to vote to make a change. We need to concentrate on them because they might be the ones to make the change because they don't think like their parents do. They don't think like their parents do.
And y'all can learn this.
And that's where,
Mike,
where,
Mike,
the, where
Mike,
you have
Mike,
to.
If Woody had just gone out to vote, this shit wouldn't have happened.
Hey, guys, y'all, a white woman and her kids came to my house and I was targeted. She was running for a congressman, white Democrat, and she said, Mr. Walsh, I said, yes, I am. I'm so-and-so running for a Democrat ticket. Can you please support me? I saw these houses out here. Why you come to me? Well, we knew you was a white from registered voters. I said, kiss my black ass.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth.
All these
Negroes
out here and I get sick. I said, dang.
No, this is
they love you, Reggie. Don't you understand?
That's right. But this is part of a continuing problem, because black people have to be in a constant state of what you want, and by that I mean you're doing for yourself. So when those dollars stay away from them, they're gonna come to you and say, what you want? When the bus boycott was successful in Montgomery, did they not step to them brothers and sisters and say, what you want?
Yeah.
When
the same
boycott happened in Jacksonville, Florida, did they not step to them brothers and sisters and say, what you want? That's what this is about.
Yeah.
Look what happened
to
Papa John, his nasty ass pizza. You know?
Yeah.
Everybody made sure they said, good.
Can I quote the late great ancestor Della Reese?
Yes, sir.
And the words of the great queen and the movie with Richard Pryor and them, Democrats, here's my whole entire black ass. I don't want it.
Uh-huh.
I got to go down the reason on that. Kiss my ass. See my pinky toe? Kiss my ass. I'm tired of fighting, man. I'm tired.
Well, see, that's the point. They want us tired. They're trying to wear us the fuck out. This is this is a consistent game plan that's been done for generations. Yep. Just like we may be complaining or fighting back in our own way, you know, our people did, you know, our families did. They made their stance politically, they knew what they were doing. And even then, it still was not enough because with everything that was conceded to us, they immediately started to find a way to get around that and offset those changes.
Sure.
Look at the difference between all of us. If we're not all grandparents, we're uncles or elders to whomever. Mm-hmm. And now look what we have to deal with. These kids that we just talked about who are going to be voting.
Or not voting, some of them.
Or not voting, but the millennials we're talking about.
Yeah.
In certain states, they still can't vote. Or let's just say the attempt to vote will be a lot more arduous. But see, in a lot of other states, the process will be more arduous because they realize the future is theirs if they can count. These kids can count. They count in Florida. They counted in Georgia. They counted in Colorado. And by the way, there were no black people shooting up schools. So how dangerous could we be? But those kids who shot folks up, who killed folks, are they labeled terrorists? No.
And to add to that, Mike, When, and then when they see Trump go after Kaepernick and all these other guys, it makes them feel better about themselves. That's the thing.
Right.
He's going after the lowest common denominator here. And he was able to win the election because of that, strictly. And also, Hillary found out that she wasn't even as popular amongst her own brethren. I mean,
exactly.
What was it? 68% of white women voted for Trump? I mean, if you can't even get your own womanhood to vote for you, I mean,
come on, please. That's right. A lot of folks don't realize that even though we say whether you're left or right, it's two wings of the same damn bird. It is. We don't see the level of outrage that we should see from this. We don't see the amount of action. As Republicans, we're bogarting situations regarding judges for the Supreme Court and other things that would take precedent. They laid down. They laid down like dogs. So when these same millennials vote, there will be issues that will come up like Roe v. Wade that they will be powerless to stop. Whether I agree with abortion or not, the right for a woman to choose is the bigger issue. Whether I agree with equal pay or not, and I do, that's going to be changed because while everybody's worrying about when he's going to get busted because he was sleeping with a hoe, he signed a piece of legislation that pretty much revoked the Equal Pay Act that Obama put through.
Mm-hmm.
So these same women that are going to be bitching will now be bitching for 77 cents on the dollar,
and when this issue first came up in Congress, who was one of the people that voted against it? Ms. Hillary.
Thank you. And not just her. There were four other senators, all female. Lisa Murkowski, the chick from Alaska, the chick from Susan Collins from Maine. There were a bunch of them. Now, these are women. You can't blame this on the old male chauvinist pigs. No, you voted against this for whatever interest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Mike, they pulled a Groucho Marx. Whatever it is, I'm against it. For their own thing, man.
They cut their own throats and gladly did it, and nobody said shit.
Yeah.
And that is why I'm super annoyed at the premise of all of this, because this is all about good journalism.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear MSNBC getting back on this. Just like you didn't hear them saying, look, Obama's not Muslim, he's Catholic, blah, blah, blah. Stop the bullshit. They played right along with the right and let that whole thing nurse itself all the way through the 8 years. And see, just like Reggie said, you have to be held accountable for that shit. And I didn't hear anybody from the media say MSNBC fucked up, because they could have said something. Their bosses told them not to say anything. I wasn't in the room, but I have proof in the fact that the inaction and the continued nonsense to letting people go out and perpetuate this, even now after he's left the fucking office, is proof positive.
And Mike,
that what
Mike,
I'm saying is true.
Here's my proof. I'm gonna make it as simple and plain. MSNBC is a offshoot of NBC. NBC hosted The Apprentice. If I got to connect the dots for you, you're either Helen Keller or you're just goddamn stupid.
For real. Too right. And that's exactly the shit I'm talking about. That's what has led us into all of this mess. So even though we can get into it and agree to disagree, as my brother Reginald said, it still comes down to the fact that people were not accountable to nip this shit in the bud before it all broke wild. And the people responsible for that are everybody in the so-called mainstream media, because they have the power to say, that's not true. This is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I not just say it, but be consistent with it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drop it because somebody doesn't want to hear it.
Mike, what did our ninth black president, Chris Rock, say? That ain't right.
That's right. That ain't right. You know that shit ain't right. They know that shit ain't right. But it's never stopped them from wanting to maintain their agenda. And that's why some dick dastardly shit that goes down, people don't say anything, people don't do anything, you're just as liable. If you sat home on your black ass and sat there and watched America's Got Talent or whatever the fuck the program is, and you didn't do anything about this, as Cheryl says, you don't have nobody to blame but your motherfucking self.
That's
I get annoyed having to do this and say these things because the truth not only hurts, it's toxic to those people who keep ignoring it.
Mm-hmm. Sad thing, Mike, is they all were probably watching the NFL.
For real. Yeah, this is no joke. I mean, not trying to be funny, but Reggie was a diehard Cowboy fan. And look what happened to his politics in the span of, what, 2-3 years, Reggie?
Well,
that's some serious shit.
He's so broken up, he's speechless.
I'm telling you.
I was a football fan. I was a New York Giant, Oakland Raider fan. I love my Giants, love my Raiders. But I will not be watching any football again in 2018. Right?
See?
Well, after last 3 months, I'm done. I am done. I'm done because the NFL knows what it's doing. And see, what needs to be done is that at 12 noon or 1 o'clock, every black player in the NFL should walk off the field. Now what you going to do?
Well, see, you know, one thing we got to remember here, we're all in agreement that the players need to show. But see, it has to be when the season starts. It can't be now because let's be honest.
That's right.
Right now, you know, would make a difference.
Yeah, they got to hit them
when they're playing.
They got to hurt. They got to hurt. You know, opening weekend. Or hell, or even opening preseason weekend, or what have they have to hit. I am hoping, and I know I'm scratching for straws here. I am hoping that they are working on something that's gonna just, you know, embarrass the goddamn holy hell out of the NFL. Because the thing is to see now basically the NFL. They're worse than that bully that got the first shot in and ran away. See, they literally, you know, I mean, this is beyond standing over you and saying you got knocked the fuck out. Now they're like, you know, they're doing the Ollie Shuffle around you. They're dancing badly like Ray Lewis. They're, you know, it's all of that. And see, again, I hope. And I hate to admit, I agree with Cheryl. I think while there's going to be a majority of players that will want to go after him, unfortunately, you're going to have the Malcolm Jenkinses of the world and others that are willing to sell their souls to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, to me, this is the most look. If there ever was a more critical moment before the National Football Players Association, these next 2 months are it. Because if they literally go back out there, literally with their heads between their if they literally go out there, this will be worse than watching the Kunta Kinte moment all over again. You know?
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. It's the Tobyization of the National Football League. That's right. It's going to be Toby takes the handoff. Toby runs out to his right, gets a block from Toby, gets to the 35, gets to the 40, tackled by Toby. It'll be first and 10 for the Washington Red Niggas on the 35-yard line. That's exactly what this shit's going to be.
And again, we all of us, all of us love the NFL. We're NFL fans from when we grew up and whatever. And to see it now, it's beyond a disgrace. It's beyond a disgrace because
it really
pitiful. Yeah, well, see, the brazenness of it, because I mean, literally, they didn't even take a vote. They literally was just like, "Oh, we're gonna do this, y'all." It's literally like what we saw in the JFK movie. Oh, we're gonna get his ass in Dallas the week before
That's
Thanksgiving.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And again,
mm-hmm.
They didn't do a lot of paper trails. They didn't do anything. They just went on and did it. Yeah, they just went on and did it. And
mm-hmm.
and literally, I damn motherfuckers, I do something about it now.
There are other things at stake here that we have not considered. The NFL players are supposed to be a union. This also affects how effective they are as unions across the country. The
mm-hmm.
NFL is acting with the CWA, with the Teamsters, and everybody else watching. We
yep.
know there's been a consistent effort even before Trump's ass got in
mm-hmm.
to defang every union
because
that has some kind of stroke to it.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, if these cats don't act, it will affect every union in the country. And I contend if Cheryl and Tony's points are true and they act now, the other unions will back the NFL up. Because remember, you're not just talking about the players. You're talking about the people who work in the stadiums. You're also talking about the truck drivers who deliver shit. All of these things tie in. So these players in the National Football League and DeMaurice Smith's moist ass have to remember that with great power comes great responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever money you think you're sacrificing, ain't those who came before you sacrificed just as much so that you could get to where the fuck you got? All these black players who played at other schools besides HBCUs, and I know the professor is with me on this. Where the fuck were you? If you weren't going to an HBCU, you weren't going to be playing at another college because they didn't watch your black ass. It wasn't until they found out they could make money off your black ass that you got the chance to go and go anyway.
And
when you did go,
through their white women. They told Jim
and when
Brown,
you and when you did go,
white women here.
When you did go, ultimately, if you got hurt, that was the end of your black ass.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to an HBCU, they saved you. They gave you education to leave with, even if it didn't manifest into an NFL contract. And what do you say as your show of thanks for that? Oh, fuck the HBCUs. That's not my concern. Well, you better believe it's your concern. Like my man said, in New Jack City, you owe poop. All you motherfuckers owe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say this. The slam when Stephen A. Smith cracked on the illustrious Big House Gang, talking about he bought his clothes from Kmart. Thought it was funny, his suits. Well, damn it, I'd rather have clothes from Kmart than no clothes at all. And Kmart got some good clothes as well as Walmart.
But that speaks to Freeman A's personality or lack thereof.
This is the man that got him a job at the Journal when he didn't have a journal school at Western Sales. He needs to owe his career to that same man. He was making jokes, thought it was funny.
Exactly.
Hey, look. Unfortunately, the role or roles of the house nigger or the house niggettes, however you want to call it, that never goes out. Unfortunately, that never goes out of style. Whether it's somebody selling out Dr. King, whether it's somebody that's selling out Fred Hampton, whether it's somebody that's selling out the president. I mean, it doesn't. It's been going on. I mean, put it this way. Basically, the house nigga basically now just has a higher profile. You know, sometimes it's called the Congressional Black Caucus.
Exactly.
Yep.
Sometimes it's called a columnist or a reporter like Paris Denard who'll sit there and drink piss with Bosco if it means forwarding President Trump's agenda. I mean, we've seen these kind of toxic folks before. We know they exist. They've been around since time immemorial.
Exactly.
So this is no surprise to us.
Mm-hmm.
How we deal with these sons of bitches is what the deal is.
Exactly. There isn't enough lard in the world to fry Jason Whitlock's ass. But hopefully,
Shoney's big boy.
Well, yeah, really. And even Shoney says, ain't no fucking room for you. But that's another, you know, again, that's a whole other story.
Unfortunately,
there will always be, because one of the greatest quotes of all time, when Harriet Tubman said, I could have freed a hell of a lot more slaves if they realized that they were slaves.
Thank you.
Think about the power of that statement. That still holds true
to her husband.
That's right.
And Mike, you pointed this out to me, Mike. Her husband, he had to put a gun on him and tell him to get his black ass up the road.
Some wicked business, y'all. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. But enough of this mess. But Mike, enough of this mess. Let's talk about the Mets bullpen.
Exactly. Let's talk about the Mets bullpen.
I want to talk about JR.
All right, Mike, that's enough to talk about. We gave him about a couple seconds. That's good enough.
I think JR's going to throw the ball up in the air and say, we won. JR, it's the first quarter. Oh.
Well, hold on, guys, because I do have to leave, so we have to abbreviate this show. But there's one more moment of clarity that I wish to put upon the populace and those listening here upon the thread. It is time to take this to the star.
Mike, we don't have to pay royalties to the late John Williams, do we?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, good.
When we talk about going to the Death Star is spelled DEPTH, just
there
for everybody's edification.
Sith Lords
and ladies, it is time to get your last licks in. We're about final thoughts. I thank everybody for coming in and helping me through our little gremlin situation, and hopefully that will be resolved in time for the show tomorrow. But ladies first, Cheryl, give us a final thought and a shameless plug, please.
My final thought is that I hope that these young men realize the power they have in their hands and they call out. And let the NFL know, without us, there's no goddamn football.
Meet some men, grow some balls, and stand up and tell them, I'm coming in to play today.
My girl got more balls than he's playing. My shameless plug is Little Scholars Academy, 2010 Ron Street. We educate your baby's mind. The phone number is 215-342-9500. We are taking enrollment for the pre-K program. Not only do we have one building, we have two buildings now.
There you go. All right. Little Scholars Academy, 2010 Ron Street. That's in Philly. For those who do not know, come and put your kid down and give him the right foundation, or her the right foundation in which to grow. Reggie, shameless plug, final thought, please.
First of all, Cheryl, I love you. You my queen. If I was a married girl, you'd be in trouble. That's a whole other thing.
Reggie, be careful. There may be a white woman listening that's going to say you're harassing her.
Take me away. Put me in the jail. First of all, I want to say God bless the panel, and shout out to those warriors out there who made that transition. Because I give ancestors that we stand here down on hell. On a serious note, I just got to say God bless April Ryan. This woman getting up there on the top of the hill fighting with these fire saltine crackers and house niggas. And it's amazing how we got two elephants out of North Carolina with stripper names that go on Fox and protect 45. I refuse to mention their names, but like I say, we know their names. They got stripper names. That's a whole nother story.
Are you talking about Polly and Esther, them trifling hoes? I know them bitches.
And I would say this in closing, that the only check some of these brothers are going to get in the NFL, they don't get a pair, is when the doctor grabbed the balls and said, cough. That's the only check they're going to get. So they better stand up.
I know that's right.
They're going to get their ass. We had women today on Sports Talk. We had problems, but we're trying to get it together. So Sports Talk and RichmondSportRadio.com. And again, Cheryl, I love you, baby. Here, this is you, boo.
Thank you.
I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. you were screaming that cat suit, girl. You made my day. Lord have mercy. Woo!
Big G, thank you as always for pitching in. Give everybody a preview of what's coming up on the coast.
We're going to talk about the last 2 minutes of the game, isn't it? The last 2 minutes of the Golden State Warriors.
For what?
Oh, God.
Cleveland Cavaliers. Look,
don't put
the NBA needs to clean his house. They had three officials on the court. You can't get this right. I'm sorry. Cleveland got robbed. I am a Golden State Warrior fan. McLean got robbed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that, guys. You see? This is what gambling has done to this game.
Yeah.
Gambling was a major part of that decision the other day. Trust me. And with the new gambling law going out now, we got some serious problems in sports.
So Gary, you're saying J.R. Smith, the J.R. and J.R. Smith stands for just robbed?
Just robbed.
Gotcha.
Gary McCall, 1 o'clock, the Music Box, Devils. Next week we have, it's going to be Train. All songs with Trains in it, the word Train in it.
Uh-oh. Don't worry. Hey, Gary, don't worry. My Washington Capitals will win tonight, so don't worry, Gary. Everything be all right.
Okay.
Gary, yeah, I put the jinx on them.
Oh, where they playing, man? In Washington. Oh, no.
Hey, T-Mac, the fans be booing by the time they get down 2 goals. They'll be booing and getting up and leaving the arena.
Well, you know what? The only worst thing that can happen to them tonight is if 45 shows up.
Let's not even think about that White House visit. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Gentlemen, we have to expedite here. Tony, shameless plug, final thought, and thanks for linking me up here.
Oh, you know, I'll make this simple. 12 days away from the CFL opening their season. There you go, NFL
fans.
Indeed.
That's what I'm talking about.
Really?
CFL plays good ball, and I see a 337 number coming up. I'm not in the mood to hear some bullshit about Trump, so you're getting X'd out the equation. Sorry about that. If you're not, please disregard. I apologize, but I am not having it today. So no trolls allowed on my thread. As I say this, let's remember something. As these people are being separated from their kids, we know that the same thing happened to us long, long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is mentioning the reality because they're talking about they're illegally coming into our country. Excuse me, for all the Native brothers and sisters and for my people who are Iroquois, no one is illegal on fucking stolen land.
Bingo.
So, to quote my man Reggie, kiss my entire ass.
Yes, sir. You realize how much chapstick these guys are gonna have to go through with all this.
That's a lot of ass. It takes 10 minutes just on mine alone.
Well, it was too much information. I take your word for it. On that note, we will see you Sunday with the Music Therapy Mindstream preceded by the Music Box with Gary Norris Gray again. Songs about train. That's going to be intriguing. I'm looking forward to that. Anybody else? We shall commiserate at the top of the hour.
I'll be there, Gary.
At the top of the hour, we shall commiserate at the Cove. Again, thanks to all the chefs for showing up today, putting in some good food for thought. Be safe out there. The kitchen's closed.
BlackAthlete.com.
Now we got the spirit.